You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are talking about the upcoming MLS Cup final, the most in-depth recap you will find in sports media. That's a guarantee. And we're also talking about the Americans abroad that are absolutely lighting it up in Europe.
That's right. Plus, we talked to Matthew Wolf, a designer extraordinaire. I call him an impresario. I don't even know if that's true, but he designed everything you absolutely love that's new in soccer. That and more today on the Cooligans!
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris
and Allie Krieger, and you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
Yes. Boom. Boom. I'm doing... You remember that?
Raven?
The little girl that's crying while she's dancing to the Mariah Carey song.
Yeah. What was the story with that?
I think
she's famous now.
But that's not normally how it is. You do something ridiculous on TikTok and that's it. But you become, nobody knows your name, but everybody knows who you are.
Yeah. Well, see, I just spent my entire life doing stuff ridiculous in person. You know, I should have done it on the internet.
Exactly. That's where you got it all wrong. All right, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerrero.
All right. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that has ever lived.
Uh-huh. It also happens to be the gulliest. You already know that.
That's
if I
got to
keep saying this, I mean, I think the problem is on you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I think contractually, that why did we put it in there that we have to say that every single time?
It's tough. Every time we pick up the phone, hey, what's up? How are you? I'm one half of the gulliest. You already know that.
Pretty standard stuff. And it's like, yeah, mom, I have to say it even with you.
Yeah. Ahora lo tengo que decir en español.
But no, we have an exciting show today because we're going to be joined by Matthew Wolf. If you do not know who Matthew Wolf is, you definitely know his work.
We're wearing
Matthew Wolf, his skin.
Wolf skin.
No, he is just literally in the last 6-7 years, just one of the most popular soccer badge designers that is
just designers, soccer designers.
Sure. Yeah, he's worked for Nike. He does stuff on his own. He's incredible. And we get to talk to him about the whole, some of the process of coming up with a lot of these things. So make sure you stick around for that. First, let's start with the MLS Cup final that is happening this weekend, Saturday, 8 p.m. December 12th, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, MAPFRE Stadium, Columbus against the Seattle Sounders. What we thinking, Alexis Guerreros? Who's taking the MLS Cup this time around?
I'm willing to go on a limb here and say a soccer team is going to win this match. And
okay,
that's,
you
I
know
mean,
what? And this is why you tune in, okay?
Call
you know?
Your bookies, baby.
Okay, you know, sometimes the people are like, yo, you know, I watch, all these Pardon My Take and I watch, what is it? Sterling, Shannon Sharp. Argue yeah. with an old man. You
they
know?
Ain't got it like we got it,
no,
baby.
No, we do it a little bit different out here.
You know what's funny? It's like, I don't want to say Seattle just seems unbeatable, but yeah. Columbus is so hard to play against and so hard to beat that I'm really excited for the match. I mean, yeah, people are like, oh, Seattle again. Like, yo, this is Schmetzer country, my G. It's the postseason, yo.
That's yeah. He's the only one that got the map for playoff country.
He got the key to the city.
Look, I think it is going to be a tough matchup. We mentioned Jonathan Mensah the other day. He's going to be an important piece for Columbus. I give Columbus's defense more the advantage here over Seattle's defense, but I think the offense for Seattle is just there's just so many options for people to of players that can hurt you.
I mean the only thing like if you're Seattle, you look at Columbus and say they needed two defenders to do incredible jobs, yeah, or essentially two defenders because one was a defensive midfielder, in order to score against New England.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You mean Minnesota?
Yeah, I'm sorry. No. I'm talking about Columbus.
You're talking about Columbus. Okay, yeah. Okay, sorry.
Columbus needed two defensive players in order to score against New England. So if you're Seattle, you're like, I think we can compete against that team.
Yeah, I just think, look, if they pretty much stop Giazzi, which is not easy to do.
I think it's actually Zelarayan, because who's going to give the ball to Giazzi?
Right, that too. I don't see. Look, I think Seattle's going to win this, and I think it's going to be another heartbreak at home in an MLS Cup final for Columbus. You know, I think people are getting exhausted of seeing Seattle either in the MLS Cup final or win it. But I don't see, especially after the momentum after the game they just had against Minnesota. I don't think they're gonna crush them by any means. But I think they have too much attacking power that I don't think Columbus is going to be able to stop it.
To me, I think of the three biggest players you have to stop on Columbus: Giazzi, Zelarayan, and Nagby. And now I think of the 19 players on Seattle you have to stop. It's just like a never-ending revolving door of players who could come in and make such a big difference. I don't know what Seattle's done, but they seem like they've broken some rules. Like, they can't all be TAM level, DP level players.
Yeah, it's like they're the new LA Galaxy of like the Sounders rule. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Dude, just Rui Diaz, Nico, Jordan Morris. I mean, it's just like those are to me a bit more unstoppable than Columbus is. But the difference is Columbus plays like a team more. So honestly, it's Caleb Porter versus Schmetzer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
Shirtless boxing match, Caleb Porter versus Schmetzer. We've all wanted it.
I don't know about that statement of like that they play more like a team. I think their
system is built for them to, each piece has to sort of fit, versus Seattle can be like, all right, this isn't working. Rui Diaz, let's give him the ball and see what happens.
Okay, that's fair. I'm trying to think of who really on Columbus has to step up, and I think it is Zelarayan. I think Pedro Santos. Like the fact that they could only score one goal against New England is what concerns me.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
The most New England is you know not the toughest defensive team in the world. They obviously have like Andrew Farrell and a couple good and having Matt Turner. Helps.
Matt Turner changes that raises the level of your defenders.
But they should have scored a couple more if they really like wanted to kind of solidify that confidence, at least for me. But I think the advantage here, Darlington Nagby has played against Seattle a whole bunch while he was at Portland. Caleb Porter has played against Seattle a whole bunch. The preparation, the game planning, I think with all that experience is going to help them a lot in this matchup. But
also Zardes in a big game, right? I mean, do you have a little bit of a worry there? Cause I do.
You always worry about Giazzi Zardes. Yeah. He literally just scores every time. Yeah.
Massage his foot. Somebody massage his foot.
So we'll see. I'm excited about the game. Again, the game is on the 12th, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Watch the game. Check it out. We'll have a really fun recap next week after the game happens. So, MLS Cup final. It's a shame we can't be there. We've been there every year the last couple of years. This is the first one we're going to...
But we'll watch it. We'll be watching.
Yeah.
And don't forget, right after this, we've got a great interview with Matt Wolf, who has designed all your favorite designs in soccer. It's come from this guy.
The Pepsi logo, it was this guy.
Yeah. If your cousin waited in line for a jersey, it was probably because it is dude. We're really excited about that because it took a while to get homie. You know, he was trying to avoid us. You know what I mean? And it doesn't work. We talked a little bit about MLS Cup. Incredible stuff happened in MLS, but some of these Americans are having a good time over in Europe. Some of the youth, some of them boys, you know what I mean?
They're enjoying themselves. We have to give a shout out and make sure we highlight Weston McKennie, Christian Pulisic, and Gio Reyna, who all happened to score goals on the same day, the same weekend, essentially.
Right.
pretty incredible. We're not used to seeing this from you know, American just American soccer, American soccer players to have this level scoring for these huge clubs, and then also scoring like in some real style. Gio Reyna, incredible goal, right?
Right.
We're a banger. And then Christian Pulisic getting on the end of I forgot who crossed it. I think it was Timo Werner. Timo Werner crossed it.
Right.
Getting on the end of it, and he's the fastest man in London.
But that also shows, hey, you know what? There's no creaks in the legs right now. You know what I mean? Okay. He was running smooth.
Hamstring is good. Just take it easy. Right? That's all.
You hear any rubber band stretching while you were running, Christian? You need to relax.
Speaking of, you know, he got into, I believe he got into the game because he subbed on for Hakim Ziyech, who had a hamstring injury. I don't know what's going on with hamstrings in 2020. Hamstrings ain't safe, okay?
Nah, yo, it ain't safe on the block, not even for your hamstring.
But no, I want to make sure we talk about Weston McKennie getting his first goal for Juventus.
And what a time to do it, huh? Should you pull out an equalizer, homie? That's not what we paid you for, but thank you.
They needed it. He got on the end of a cross from El Colombiano, Juan Cuadrado.
Right.
And a header. Like, this we've seen Weston McKennie do this. He did it a lot for Schalke as well. He is, you know, has no regard for his body when it comes to a ball that's in the air. He's like, right. I am winning this. He don't
think about the landing later. Here's let me show you what my takeoff is like.
And I got a great goal. I mean, look, first goal for Juventus. First goal by an American for
Juventus.
At Juventus. And he's the first American to ever play there. Pretty incredible. He is on loan at Juve with an option to buy. When this move was made, I think all of us were like a little bit skeptical. We're like, what?
I was like, homie ain't getting no playing time.
Literally, first game, he's like, yo, I'm here, right?
Yeah. What you mean I ain't getting no playing time? Give me your playing time and give me your pudding. Pirlo's just, like, I'm the coach.
You just mush Pirlo. I don't like this team sheet. Fix it.
Yeah. He tussled his hair. He's like, you gonna do what I say, Pirlo.
No, the fact that he is not only playing and playing so well, and then I think we saw it in the U.S. men's national team matches, he looks much improved.
He looks better on a good team than he did in Schalke.
But it's crazy that it happened like that fast. He was just like, you went for like 2 months and he's in the U.S. men's national team. Like, yo, all right, let me show you the couple tricks that Pirlo taught me.
He came back from summer break brolic and we're like, all right, what'd you do? Just push-ups all summer?
What, you go through a bad breakup? Okay,
damn, son. What, you wearing oil right now? Why are you glistening, my G?
No, but so congrats to all of them. I mean, it's great to see, and it sends American soccer Twitter in a frenzy when there's any kind of success. All right, everybody, we got more coming up. We have Matthew Wolf joining us next, so come right back after this.
Hey everybody, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to break up with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right, Gully Squad. The last, during quarantine, Gully Squad has not only become a dope soccer community, but it's becoming a vital space for my emotional well-being.
Okay? Yes, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have anyone to talk to a lot of the time. And also, I would not know what an apple crisp is.
Okay, yeah, we are. There's so much communication and sharing of food. It's I don't really dwell in that channel too much.
No, you're not allowed to. Your girl can see it on your face that you're looking at food.
She goes through my phone not to look for like texts from other girls. She's like
booty pick, booty pick, booty pick sandwich.
Sam, what is this? How dare you betray me like this?
She's messaging me, homewrecker.
Gully Squad is obviously the Cooligans community of people that are fans of soccer, fans of comedy, fans of food, fans of pizza. It's an opportunity to help support the content that we put out, help us put out more content that we can deliver to the masses, and also get some exclusive content for yourself. So there's a bunch of really cool things going on in there. We have an amazing Slack channel that may or may not exist. Who knows?
Hey, and, even that we just talked about.
Exactly. But, you know, it's vague. It's very vague. So you can join at any level. You can join. You can give like $5, $10. You can give more. If you give more, there's more perks involved, like, you know, merch and a pin and stickers and different things like that. So it's, if you're a fan of soccer, if you're a fan of comedy, we highly recommend you joining. And it definitely helps the show grow, so we can do a bunch of other fun things, you know, in 2021, when we can finally travel, we can be able to go do live shows and do live events and do a lot of other things like that. So
plus you get some really exclusive stuff, like when we release the pins, you get a pin for joining.
That's right.
When we release the pop socket, you got a pop socket for joining, stuff like that. So there's a lot of really good exclusive stuff. It's not just being a part of the you know, Slack channel that may or may not exist, but trust me, that's a dope part of it.
Very much so. So go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button now.
That's right, baby. We're back on the Cooligans Living Room FC. And Christian, I mean, I say this all the time, but this time I actually mean it. I am excited.
Yes, you, everybody knows you are just an absolute liar. You've lied every other all episode we have to. I
mean, why don't do you people believe me?
A word he says, you know?
But this goes back, this might be like late 2015, early 2016, I emailed this dude when nobody knew who he was, okay? And I said, yo.
He would be nothing without me.
If it wasn't for that email, where would his career be? No, I messaged him and I was like, yo, would love to have you on the show. And he was like, why? He's like, yeah. What am I going to talk about? Legit was his reaction, was like, what am I going to talk about on a podcast?
He just responded with, my self-esteem is way too low. Why are you talking to me?
Yeah. Please don't bother me. I like the fact that no one knows who I am prior to this email. No, but he had started to, I mean, he probably already had a name, but we didn't know who he was. I don't know. How do you explain it? Like the U.S. soccer secret weapon all of a sudden? Okay.
Just a designer, you know, it's just maybe the simplest form of the career path, but a visionary is what I think a lot of people would also call him.
Right. Most times people look at like some of the early MLS logos and stuff, or just American soccer logos, and you're like, yo, why is our stuff got to be so corny? And then this dude threw on a Photoshop cape. Okay. And he came to the rescue of American soccer.
That's right. Somebody, they lit the wolf signal and boom, he showed up.
It came off of your aunt's shirt. And it transformed into this dude. Look, he's your favorite club's favorite soccer badge designer. The one, the only, Matthew Wolf, everybody.
Matthew, what's up, man?
What's up, guys? Thanks for the intro. That was awesome.
Yeah, we have to, you know, we got to show respect when it is due.
And it is earned. It is earned.
Very much so. Matt, I mean, I don't know how many interviews you do. I don't know how much of a front-facing sort of designer you are or want to be, but you have so many fans. People are you are becoming this cult figure when it comes to in the soccer world, when it comes to designing badges. What does that sort of feel like, that and was that the plan?
So to answer the first question, how many interviews do I do, is not very many. I think this is my second. I like to keep a low profile. It's not really about me, right? The crests and the designs and the kits. It's not about me at all. It's about the clubs and the federations and the communities and the cities that I'm designing for. I got into this business because my two favorite things in life, my two passions, are soccer and design. So I figured might as well try to merge those two. And this made the most sense. And like many football crest enthusiasts, I've been drawing them in my school textbooks since I was in elementary school. So to be able to do it now for a living is a dream come true. Don't take it for granted. I know how lucky I am. So I try to make every crest better and more impactful than the last.
Yeah, honestly think there's a group of people out there drawing their own soccer crests in their notebooks?
Alexis was drawing penises in his textbook for years.
Yeah, but those were my soccer crests. So, y'all know about Schlong FC, my G?
No, I know for a fact that there were a special breed, but while they were teaching trigonometry, we were out here drawing you know, soccer crests and the notebooks. So, yeah, when I meet other people like that, I'm like, your fourth grade textbook looked like this? And they're like, yeah. Oh, yeah, shit, look at that.
What's the one that, like, you, do you remember earliest where you were like, yo, that's amazing right there?
That I did or that
No, that you saw as a child that you were like, yo, like it stood out. Like, I remember, like, the first song I heard that made me love hip hop. I remember the first sandwich I ate that made me fat. Like, what is the badge that
I
you
remember
saw?
Each calorie vividly.
Oh, yeah, very. I have a big spreadsheet for it.
Yeah, that'd probably be the Roma crest, the Lupetto crest, which is like a young wolf. It's just the wolf head. It's got no text on it. It's in a circle, and that resonated with me because that's my last name. And I just was like, how could a soccer crest be so simple and so beautiful and so effective? And this was probably between like maybe 10 to 12 years old when my family was living in London. So I had a lot more exposure to some of the European clubs. A lot of the clubs in England had really ornate crests at the time. Like I support Arsenal, unfortunately.
I'm sorry to hear it, me too.
And buddy. that was before they rebranded to kind of a modern canon crest, and they had this super ornate, super heraldic looking crest. And then when I first saw that Roma crest, I was like, wow, it could be this simple. Amazing.
Yeah. And just to fire off some of, you know, speaking of Gunners, just to fire off some of the badges that you have,
he's a pro. He's a pro.
Designed and been a part of. Obviously, the NYCFC crest, you were a part of that. The Oakland Roots, I'm not wearing the actual crest, but that you've involved in that. Just some of the
Racing
Tulsa.
Louisville, Tacoma, right? Not Tacoma,
FC Tulsa.
Tulsa.
Charleston Battery.
LAFC.
LAFC. Yeah. Yep. And hopefully got a few more coming down the pipe.
Okay. And this is what I'm curious about. Not even the design process in itself, but the one thing that's interesting, like for comedians in writers' rooms, we always have to like break down, what does this joke mean? What are we trying to say? What are we trying to do? And there can be like some fun back and forth when it comes to building that final product, that final joke. Is it fun to start from the ground up to build a crest? Whether you're working with a team, whether you're by yourself and in your own head, is that beginning part, those beginning stages, are they actually exciting or are they frustrating until you get to like, you know, stage two or stage three?
The funny thing about designing football crests is usually they're so simple and you don't know when you're going to have that kind of eureka moment of, oh, this is how this is going to look. Like that could come within the first 3 hours of getting the creative brief, and that could come like 6 months later. So is it fun? I wouldn't describe it as fun. I think it's a process and you have to be very patient. And sometimes you're up at 3 a.m, like with just the sketchbook. And sometimes it comes quickly and sometimes it doesn't.
It seems like, and this is what's so interesting, it's like the parallels between designing a crest from the ground up and writing a joke from the ground up aren't too dissimilar. I mean, what we get paid for each, very different, but they're dramatically different.
Hey, you don't know that.
I can guess. But when you're doing it, like at what, do you ever just get frustrated? You're like, I don't know, man, just put an acronym on there somewhere in a circle. Like, do you ever get like, is there like a moment where you're like, you just can't connect?
I think you just have to keep digging until you find that connection. Or that's my approach anyway, is just keep turning over stones until you find the right one. Yeah, you never know when that moment's going to come. The other thing that I don't wonder if this happens when you guys write jokes is you're up late writing jokes and you have one and you're like, this is the best joke ever. Like, this joke is going to make me famous. And then you like go to sleep and you wake up and you're like, this joke is terrible. Yeah. This joke is not funny at all. That happens to me all the time, especially early on. I'll be sketching and I'll be like, this is it. I've just designed the greatest soccer crest of all time. And then I'll wake up and I'll be like, this is complete garbage. This makes no sense.
This is a dick with a circle around it.
What did I dream of? What is crazy? Yeah.
I got to stop eating spicy food.
Right.
And Matthew, we have to talk about it. The famous Nigeria kit from the World Cup in 2018. This kit, you know, obviously just a tremendous, just one of the most popular, one of the most, like, it felt like the way people are trying to get a PS5 now is how people were trying to get this Nigeria kit. If people lost their minds, you were obviously involved in that design process as well. Did you expect this impact? Did you expect it to be this, I mean, look, I guess you nobody ever expects anything, right? I'm gonna assume the answer is no. But what was your response to how much people loved this kit and the fact that you got to be a part of that?
Yeah, it was amazing to be a part of that process. And obviously, I was not the only person involved. Nike is a massive machine with many, many very talented parts. But when we finished designing it, which, by the way, was like probably 2 years or at least 18 months in advance of the World Cup.
Wow.
I was kind of like, people are probably going to either love this or hate this, but nowhere in between. And kind of in between the time that I finished designing it and when it came out, Nigeria really started to have a moment in the arts and culture, film, like literature. So it was kind of the perfect timing for it. And on top of that, it was coming off the back of quite a lot of plain football kits. Like the Nike kits coming out of 2016 were mostly plain, and they didn't have kind of the bold, expressive graphics that we had in the Nigeria collection. So it was like, you know, a bunch of factors came together and made it a big success. So it was awesome to be a part of, and I'll always support Nigeria. Now I feel Nigerian.
I thought you were this whole time. when you look at, like, we talked in private once, and I said, like, dude, you designed something for a sport that broke through to like the streetwear, hype beast, just fashion world. Couldn't have been your plan. But I mean, do you sit back and you're like, yo, I'm charging triple now, you know? Like, you gotta, and I know you were a part of the process. I'm not saying it was solely you, but like, there's gotta be like a strange sense of pride, or you're like, do you question how can I catch this lightning in a bottle again, you know?
Yeah. And I always thought that there was kind of a missed opportunity between soccer and the streets, or soccer and fashion. And then after that, we did the PSG Jordan, and that added kind of basketball into the equation. I don't think there's any reason that skate, soccer, basketball need to be segmented. I think having kind of a fluidity between them, kind of like, you know, rising tide lifts all boats. I think that, and kids these days don't have single interests. You know, I think maybe when I was growing up, I was like solely focused on soccer and wasn't paying attention to much of what else was going on. But now I think kids see themselves as basketball / soccer / gamer / skaters. So to be able to produce garments that kind of tick all those boxes just made sense at the time, and I think is even more relevant now.
Yeah, I even with the Nigeria kit in particular, there was almost this. I think the impact on it, even on a like from a racial perspective as well, because they were like, there was something to, like, you would see like groups of white dudes rocking Nigeria kits, like, yo, we out here, and there's a little bit of like, it, like, at first it's like jarring, but the level of interest and respect for, you know, there were probably a lot of people that didn't know anything about the Nigerian soccer team, but then they see this kit and they wear it and they're like, yo, all right, I'm gonna be paying attention to them a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think anytime you can create a kit that goes beyond just the soccer world, it's going to be successful. That was kind of the goal. And I try to take that approach to crests I'm designing too, is have them appeal to non-soccer fans. So like an example, similar example would be LAFC. And when we did the LAFC crest, I wanted to have that LA be able to be extracted from the crest and put on merchandise, primarily that cap. Like, we decided early on in the process, we wanted to put out a cap that could rival the Dodger cap that you could buy or wear regardless of if you knew that it was associated with the soccer team. And then that could be a pretty potent gateway drug to like a soccer addiction. So that's kind of my approach in a lot of my projects.
Yeah, you're Alexis. You remember that guy that you bumped into in LA? It wasn't a UPS driver that made his hat brown, and it was the LA.
So I was apartment sitting my buddy's place, and I'm walking his dog, which I don't know how to do, and I'm very frustrated. Right, I'm not a pet person, and I see a UPS guy with a brown LAFC hat. And I was like, where'd you get a brown LAFC hat? And he's like, you know what this is? And I was like, yeah. He goes, I made it myself because they don't make a brown one. And I wanted to wear it so it fits my uniform. So I took photos of the guy. I was like posting all about it. Max Brados, who works for LAFC at the time, I don't know if he still does, but he shared it. LAFC people started sharing it. Then the guy got in trouble because apparently it's still not his uniform.
Damn, you put him on blast.
Oops.
But it looked dope, though.
It was fire. Though. He was like, who are you? And I'm like, I kind of got a lot of followers in this world. I'm like, I do this thing called the Cooligans. He's like, I know what that is. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to post it. He's like, okay. I'm like, you sure? He's like, yeah. So look at that. You changed even a dude made forced his what you're doing into his work, you know?
Yeah, one time I got on an airplane and I sat down next to a woman wearing an LAFC cap and I was like, oh, LAFC. And she was like, what? And I was like, LAFC, you support him? And she was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, never mind.
You're wearing a hat. Yeah.
No, she just thought it was like a LA hat, which is, I guess, fine.
Yeah,
Unless you're like doing revenue at LAFC, and then you're like, oh shit, we need to change our messaging.
But Matt, we have we got so many questions from fans. People are huge fans of you. We got fans for questions from Gully Squad, which is our supporters group, and I mean, there's almost too many to go through. I'm going to try to pick a few of the ones that I find at least the most intriguing.
One, we got to start with Laura McCoy's comment. It's not really a question. She says, does he want to send Gully Squad any alone? Illustrious gifts.
Yeah, so I imagine you have a lots of cool swag that you can give away to our fans. They'll be more than willing to accept. That's the main point.
I'll dip into my sample closet, see what I can find.
Yo, that sample closet must be crazy, though.
It must
right?
be there's, amazing.
There's some weird shit in there, for sure.
And they're like, what is that, a bootleg kit? And you're like, if you only knew, my G.
And she also mentioned, she said, Laura also says, she said, no real question, but pass along my admiration on that amazing Nigeria kit. All right. So I didn't mention that. But Sean Forsyth, he says, obviously, every client and design brief is different. But are there any considerations, changes to your process when you make a design, when you're designing a badge for a new team versus a redesign?
Yeah, absolutely. For a redesign, it's great because you can just take some of the elements that are working well and retain them and then scrap what's not working so well. But for a expansion club or a new club or a full refresh, you're starting from scratch, which is exciting and exhilarating, but it's also a lot more work because you have to craft the story behind the crest and figure out what that element or elements is going to be in the mark. So totally different approaches. Obviously, the execution is still, you know, sketchbook and an illustrator, but the process together is very different.
Okay. We're here with Matthew Wolf, impresario. I don't know. I don't even know what that word means. I hope I'm using it correctly, to be honest
pretty
with you.
Sure. It is wildly incorrect, but go
all
ahead.
Right, perfect. Well, he's a designer extraordinaire.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know what impresario means. Look, we got a lot of questions from Gully Squad and we're going to get to them, but I did have a question that just popped in my mind. When you look at soccer design in general, right? One of the things that I love about a soccer kit is that out of all sports, it is the only one I think you could actually wear casually, right? And you can't really wear like an NFL jersey. It's like, you look like you're just going to go party with your friends. A soccer jersey kind of fits. A lot of them kind of almost look like polo shirts and whatnot. But when you look at some of the designs around it, in particular, they can't seem to figure out how to get soccer boots or cleats to become streetwear sneakers, right? Basketball had that figured out from the get. And also, soccer players' personal logos are 99.9% basura. It is just garbage. What is going on? Is there something there? Is it because the player themselves, and these dudes wear D squared, so you know they ain't got no fashion sense. Is it their fault? Are they the ones picking those designs? And what do you think is going to take to get the sneakers to be, or like the shoes to become sneakers that are acceptable socially and not just those weird Euro dudes, you know what I mean, that wear them?
Oh, we know what you mean. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, the athlete logos is a really interesting one. That there aren't that many really good athlete logos. Like the one that comes to mind for me is Derrick Rose, where it's like a D and a one and a rose.
Yeah.
Amazing. I think a designer at Adidas said it's so, so good. Obviously Jumpman comes to mind. That's like a
Jumpman
little bit
Jumpman is classic, but the LeBron one's garbage. I don't know. I hope you didn't work on this one. But Messi is absolute horrific. It looks like a startup that never took off. It's so bad.
Yeah. I've never done an athlete. Actually, that's not true. I did a few basketball players when I was at Nike. But there is a huge opportunity there. And, you know, these players are not just players anymore. They're like brands that have many things going on outside the lines. So, maybe that's the next frontier, is getting into the athlete logos. As you said, the bar is kind of low right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So...
So maybe I have a shot at this.
Yeah, Why don't you take a crack at it? I totally agree with you. I think soccer kits are the easiest to pull off for the range of body types that there are. I have some like basketball jerseys and they're just sitting in my closet and I'm like, will I ever wear that?
I don't want like people looking at my shoulders arms. Like that.
Yeah,
you know?
skinny ass forearms, upper arms. Football, American pigskin football jerseys, you just look like you're going to like a bar on Sunday. That's like the only time you'd wear that. And then hockey sweaters, I guess you can pull off in certain regions of the country, certain times of year. But I'm surprised that the indoor soccer shoe or like the flat sole cleat like hasn't really taken off in the streets. And again, I think it depends on where you are. Like in Europe, it's pretty popular. But I guess all the more reason we should just push all our chips in the middle for football kits rather than football boots or sneakers.
Yeah. All right. Look, but we have until 2026 to make, when the World Cup is here, everybody's going to be getting on the trend.
On the mad Euro sneakers.
Yeah.
A bunch of questions. Let's see. Look, our friends, they can be kind of messy, not like Lionel. We have this is a good one. Emily Gerdes, she asks, what's your favorite design you've ever done? And Felix Palau asks, what's the worst kit you've ever worked on? Name names. I don't think
And name names is in caps. So
you don't have to answer that. But those are the questions. I'm putting it out there.
So favorite crest I've designed. Was it crest? Yeah.
Favorite design.
Favorite design in general.
Favorite design. So this is going to sound like a dodge of the question, but genuinely, I don't have any favorites. And they're all like my children. I love them equally. And I think that the process, how fun the process was, or like how engaging the client or the club was, or how many rounds of bourbon they bought me, will definitely impact my perception of the process or like my perception of the final product. But I don't have any that I'm like deeply ashamed of yet. I'm sure there'll be a couple of whiffs there.
We get enough money to ask you to design the Cooligans next logo, and you'll be like, "Oh, this is embarrassing."
Yeah, my biggest fear is that put something out, and then there will be some like accusation of plagiarism, or like you stole my art, you stole this IP from like this random thing that I never saw on the internet. So like the night before a crest drop, I'm always a little sleepless thinking like, man, I hope the lawyers did a good job like scraping the internet. There's just so many logos out there. Like everything has a logo. What soccer crest, sports team or not. Like if you're doing like before LA came out, I was like, man, someone must have thought of this arrangement of the two letters LA. Like I really hope this doesn't come back and blow up in my face.
Did you catch Heat for the Wing and the Angels?
No, luckily not. At least I didn't hear about it. I think it was just different enough. The angle was different enough, but yeah. it is a weird one, right? Like IP lawyers on both sides would obviously argue different things, and neither of them is necessarily right or wrong. It's just right. Like very subjective.
And how do nice. You handle the look? I mean, when a crest is put out, I mean, not only, I mean, it's not just the design process. It's not just there's so many people involved. There are so many fans. How do you handle the like probably, you know, week long, like all the attention is on you, what you did, what you were a part of. I'm sure people are tweeting at you, whether they like it, whether they hate it. How do you handle that level of criticism and praise at once?
Well, it's weird. Like we were talking about earlier, that's like not really why I got into this game. Like I still don't really want to be like the face of any of this. It's like really not about me. I can't stress that enough. It's about the club and the supporters and the community and whatever.
But you and I are so different, Matt.
Yeah. So it is a lot of pressure. And like when they come out, I try to just kind of turn off the social media and go, you know, be as zen as possible. Yeah. But yeah, like, it's hard to avoid. Like, people are texting you and calling.
Like LeBron in the playoffs are like, I'm going dark. I'm not. I got to just zone out and do, focus on my work.
100% on this.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's my little brother was actually in a movie in like 2010. It was called A Serious Man. And
it's a great movie.
Yeah,
the Coen Brothers, right?
Yeah. He plays the main character's son.
Oh, that's amazing.
And oh, dope.
Right after the movie dropped, he started to read, and he's probably 15, maybe 14, 15 at the time. He started to read the reviews of his performance. Oof. And it really shook him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a kid going into his freshman year of high school. And I remember my mother telling him, like, the only thing that's more sad than writing a comment on social media is reading the comments on social media. So I try to keep my mother's words in my mind when, you know, the haters are coming out telling me that I fucked up their crest. Am I allowed to curse on here?
You are now. No, yeah, okay. You are.
Tell them that I really screwed up their crest.
So. You take care of your brother. Fuck yeah. All the haters. Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess the point is I try not to read too much of the comments. That come after the drops.
No, that's why I just don't read at all. You know, just in case.
Look, you're helping social media and Twitter continue to exist, because without you putting out some content, we would have nothing to argue with each other about. Okay? Go to MatthewWolf.com, or is it MatthewWolf.com?
MatthewWolf.com.
Two Fs.
Two Fs, yes. And that leads me to a question from MJ Lee. She said, how often do people spell your name right? Or is it usually?
Very rarely. Very, very rarely. Yeah.
I have to check my contacts in my cell phone because I think I put that in there with one F.
I'm interested about this. There's a couple questions. We got a question from Dennis Higgins who asked, how do you get that job? Meaning about designing soccer kits. He's like, do you go to soccer kit fashion school or something like that?
I like how he asked it too. How'd you get that job? Like he's at a deli. Hey, how'd you get that job?
How'd you get behind that counter?
Is it regular design school? Is it like a special soccer kit design place you went to?
I guess the simpler question is, how'd you get your start?
Good question. So I've always been a soccer player my whole life, played throughout college.
What position?
Right wing.
Okay.
There you
like
go.
A,
that makes sense.
Kind of like a Ray Parler, Theo Walcott vibe.
Okay.
Very nice.
Yeah, Everton's best player, Theo Walcott, who was there for a year and a half.
I think that's his official title.
Yeah. And then after my playing days were over, I went to art school. So yes, there was some art school in there. I went to Parsons New School for Design in Manhattan. And I had the same question when I was like, how do I do that for a living? Is that even possible? Like, that sounds so fun. Like, That would be not working a day in my life, as they say.
It's a whole lot of work.
Yeah.
But I just started basically at the lowest possible level at the amateur, my own Sunday league teams, like emailing my college saying, yo, can I redesign the sports logo? Hitting up my high school saying, can I do soccer kits for you? Like most of them said no. But then you'll start to eventually find like a maybe NPSL or like USL League 2 club or a Sunday League side in your area that'll be like, oh, yeah, you want to do our crest? Yeah, that's fine. We have no money. So the first bunch are like for peanuts or free. But slowly but surely, you start to build a resume, start to build a portfolio. And then, you know, hopefully keep it going.
Yeah, you were in the Parsons U20 system, and it all worked out.
Parsons till I die. Yeah. I'm interested more in badge, but really anything that you look at, whether it's in the world of soccer or not, where you're like, I should leave my business card because somebody here needs my help. Is there something like even just big? Is there something that you look at and you're like, yo, this needs the wolf touch. Yo, I need to take a bite out of this design. I don't know what you would say.
I
need to growl at this thing. I don't know. Howl, I guess, is probably more like it.
No, I think that the one industry that's obviously booming right now is gaming. Personally, I'm not much of a gamer. But I know that there's like a huge opportunity there, and there's like new teams and new games. And I've recently done one for like a Call of Duty team called LA Thieves. And that was a pretty fun one. And I think that there will be more and more opportunity there. And then, Alexis, like you said, I think the player logos. You got my mind. You got my wheels spinning now. I can leave some business cards with some agents. Say, let me do some of these. Let me do some of these player logos. That could be a cool one.
All right, I'll take my 1%. I'm very inexpensive.
Okay, reasonable fee.
Hey, look, I know you're just starting out in that field, so if you want, and I don't play anything, but if you want to do my logo, I got peanuts. I can send you some peanuts.
Okay, I hope you're not allergic. the one thing I also wanted to make sure to talk about, Louisville City, you designed their crest, but they did a really cool thing, and they made a Pulp Fiction parody. They did a sketch about calling the wolf. It's a very big scene in Pulp Fiction. It was one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
When you saw that, and again, and I know you don't want to be the face of the thing, but you are, right? People are really excited about your work. But the fact that a club did that kind of for you, what did that mean to you?
So before they even did this, I have a buddy that works at LAFC. And whenever I do a new crest, he always sends me the clip of send in the wolf. Or how does it go? You called in the wolf?
You called in the wolf, yeah.
Yeah. So when the president of Louisville City told me that they were going to do that, I thought that was pretty hilarious. So that was good.
All right. Thank you again to our guest, designer Matthew Wolf. Thank you so much for joining us. I think we learned a lot. We got to see a peek behind the curtain of what your brain is like, which is really that is the most exciting.
We got
part.
A peek inside the solid state drive.
Okay. No moving parts. Matt, is there anything you want to let people know about before we sign off?
Yeah. So some friends and I are working on launching a lower division club in Vermont called Green FC with a focus on environmental sustainability. So that's all I can say on that for now, but hopefully in 2021 we'll have more on that.
Are you going to hire like an agency to design the logo and stuff, or
definitely
you want to give two young comedians two upstart comedian designers a chance?
I'll send you guys your paintbrushes and your crayons.
We're gonna have to try to color within the lines. It's gonna be hard.
Alexis, where are your crayons? Oh, I wasn't supposed to eat them.
Okay, and if make sure you follow Matthew on social media as well. At Matt Wolf, is that correct?
Wolf Matt.
All right, cool. So make sure you give him a follow and support his work. Check out his website as well. All right, make sure you follow at Soccer Cooligans as well, at Fubo Sports, and subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the program. All right, let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So for Matthew Wolf, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!